MZTV.
Let's talk about enemies of the cross of Christ. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? No, it's not fun. It's not a good time for me. It won't be a good time for you, but we need to know about this, and I need to tell you that enemies of the cross of Christ are not members of the world. You would think they'd be enemies of the cross of Christ, but they're not. Why not? Because they don't care about the cross of Christ. Some of the worldly people don't even think that there was an historical figure as Jesus Christ. How can they be an enemy of the cross? They actually, an enemy of the cross has to be someone whose focus is the cross, who aims at the cross, who's always talking about the cross, but who dismisses the cross. And it will always and every time be someone who claims to be a believer. This is how I know this from Philippians 3:18, and I'm going to go there shortly. This is Martin Sender. Welcome to MCTV. 3:18, Paul says, "For many are walking." Two shocking words here. Many and walking. Many are walking. What does that mean? It means they're in the realm of believing, but they're not believing. I can prove that too. Many are walking. I don't want anybody to get nervous. This is not you. And if you think it's you, I will dissuade you of that momentarily. For many are walking, of whom I often told you. Let me stop there for 1 second and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is one of the places Paul told them that many are walking who end up, I'm going to get there, being enemies of the cross of Christ. But he says this in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 1. "Now I'm making known to you, brethren, the evangel which I bring to you, which also you accepted, in which also you stand, through which also you are saved, if you are retaining what I said in bringing the evangel to you, outside and except you believe feignedly." You believe feignedly. Is feigned belief actual belief? No, it is not. Then why is it called feigned belief? Because it looks like belief. It has to look like belief. It is in the realm of believing. It talks of believing. It hangs out with believers, but it itself is not believing because it is feigned. Again, this is not talking about a person of the world because they're not even in the realm of belief. They have faith in nothing. So it's not feigned belief. A feigned believer is someone who goes along as if they are a believer. They act like a believer would act, but they are not a believer because they don't believe. Here's the key thing. They don't believe the essential elements of Paul's gospel. Now back to Philippians chapter 3. "Many are walking, of whom I often told you," and I just gave you one of the most important places where Paul warns of feigned believers. And this is more relevant than I ever imagined, and the world is full of these kinds of people. And I don't think many of them of course, none of them are in the body of Christ, but I don't believe many of them are walking among members of the body of Christ. I think we're basically talking about the religious world, Christianity specifically, but of course, they think they're members of the body of Christ, but they're absolutely not. "For many are walking, of whom I often told you, yet now am lamenting also as I tell it." This was a disastrous thing to Paul. It was a tragedy to Paul. "Who are enemies of the cross of Christ." They're not enemies of Christ. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. Martin, what's the difference? Well, I've told you many times of the difference between what Jesus Christ is for Israel and what he is for the body of Christ. For Israel, he's their Messiah. He's the lamb slain. He's the fulfillment of the types of the lambs who were sacrificed for sin. In the circumcision gospel, in the Israel gospel, the centerpiece is not the cross. I've told you many times, Peter's testimony on the day of Pentecost was repent of the crucifixion. Paul, on the other hand, said, I came among you deciding to know nothing except Christ Jesus and him crucified. The crucifixion of Christ and the cross of Christ is the centerpiece of our evangel. It's good news for us. It's bad news for the Israel types because they crucified their own Messiah. They don't need to believe in the cross of Christ. What is so important about the cross? The cross is the Roman form of execution. This was not the Jewish form of execution. The Jewish form of execution was stoning. I've also told you this many times. If Jesus Christ had merely been the lamb, the fulfillment of the type of the lamb, he would have been laying on an altar and had his throat cut. But instead, he goes to the cross and he suffers horribly, 6 hours of torture on the cross, not to mention the preliminary torture at the hands of the Romans, the humiliation, the crown of thorns, the scourging, being hit in the face. Again, these terrible things. This never happened to the lambs. Nobody ever slapped the lambs, hit the lambs, mocked the lambs, beat the lambs in the old Israel type. Did they ever do that? Did anybody ever do that? No. So Jesus Christ was much, much more than a mere sacrifice for the sins of Israel. There's something deeper that had to be reached by great pain, great sacrifice, even humiliation. Something had to reach deep, 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 deep. And what was it? It was taking us out of the root of Adam. Israel doesn't do that. The Israel gospel doesn't do that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John does not do that. None of those writers go back to Adam. It is only Paul who takes humanity back to Adam. Of course, in the circumcision gospel, humanity still comes from Adam, but they don't emphasize it. They talk about Abraham. They talk about Isaac, Jacob, David. The only time Adam is mentioned is when our Lord's genealogy is set forth. But Paul makes Adam the centerpiece, comparing Christ to Adam. So it's the cross, it's the torture, it's the depth of the suffering and the humiliation that goes way deeper and it gets the root of the human race. This is why Paul says, and only Paul, we are a new creation. The cross goes to the root of the problem. This took immense amounts of pain. I don't know why, but it did. You've heard of deep tissue massage. If you're really sore, you go in and get deep tissue massage. It hurts like hell. But afterwards, you are so unwound, so loose, so relaxed. You've been massaged by people who just do this, and they just like just this lightweight massage. They don't even hardly touch anything, and it doesn't get anywhere. It doesn't hurt, but it doesn't help. There's no pain, no gain, see? No pain, no gain. Deep tissue massage sounds like this. Oh, ow, and they're pushing, 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 and they reach something deep that needs touched. And it hurts like hell, and then they finally rub it around, and they get that point. They find that point, and they let go finally, and it's just like, oh, it's better now. What did you just do? Oh, nothing. I just reached into your soul. The scourging of Christ reached into the soul of Christ. Reached into the soul of the human race. A mere slitting of the throat, dying and dying painlessly, would not have done that. The cross is the salvation of all humanity. The cross. You know, Israel does not teach the salvation of all humanity. It's not an Israel message. It's not part of the circumcision gospel. The circumcision gospel is Jesus Christ is your Messiah. Believe in Jesus as your Messiah. Put your faith and confidence in him and you'll get into the kingdom. Take your confidence off of yourself. Do you hear anything about the reconciliation of the world to God? Do you hear anything about as an Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified? You hear anything about there is a new humanity. The old has passed by. Lo, there has come new. Do you hear anything about we have been crucified together with Christ? Do you hear anything about we are baptized into his death? Do you hear anything about we are a new creation and we are not to think of ourselves anymore according to flesh? And even if we have thought of Christ according to flesh, we should know him so no longer. No more Christ according to flesh. Radical change, sweeping change, clean, new. And Johnny Green's still talking about repentance. It's just, there's no conception of people who say we have to repent constantly. There's no conception from these people of the cross of Christ. And they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Anyone telling us that we have to still repent of sin is an enemy of the cross of Christ. Not an enemy of Christ. Oh no, they'll purport to be friends of Christ, but I'm telling you, they're enemies of the cross. And they are not members of the body of Christ. They don't understand the truth that the old humanity was erased. Christ did it all. Christ did it all. There's no room for repentance after that. You can say you're sorry to God for doing something, but it doesn't officially affect anything. It just makes you feel better. Your old humanity is dead. In order to repent, you have to dig up the corpse of the old humanity and punch it in the face. Repent. Do better. Stop it. Quit. Feel bad. Feel sorry. Feel terrible. You ever tried to punch a corpse? I hope not, but that's how stupid it is for us to think we need to repent. Israel does not understand this. Anybody who is disposed to the terrestrial, Paul's going to get into that here. Anyone who's disposed to the Israel gospel, i.e. disposed to the terrestrial realm, will not understand what I'm saying. Well, they will absolutely not understand this. They will be completely offended by anyone saying there's no need to repent. God has not given them the faith to believe that there's been a new humanity. There's been a change of humanity. Old humanity was crucified with Christ. Oh, that has to do with the cross, doesn't it? Crucified. You hear that? Old humanity was crucified. That's someone who gets the cross, but someone who's still telling you to repent, still telling you that your sins are standing between you and God, still telling you that you need to feel bad and cry and weep and mourn. I'm not saying you don't do it at times, but somebody who's telling you have to do it, they don't understand the crucifixion. And they're an enemy. They're a literal enemy of the cross of Christ. Not an enemy of Christ, enemy of the cross. Enemy of the new creation. Enemy of, as an animal are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. An enemy of baptized into his death. An enemy of new creation. I know I already said all this. I'm saying it again. Because these are radical truths that belong to Paul and nowhere else. You won't find these truths anywhere else in the scripture. New creation. Baptized into Christ's death. No longer know yourself according to flesh. No longer know Christ according to flesh. A new creation. The old has passed by. Lo, all things are new. Walk as if resurrected from among the dead. Pretty radical stuff. I'm going to start Philippians 3:18 again. For many are walking. They're in the realm of those who look like they're believers, of whom I told you, of whom I often told you, yet now I'm lamenting also as I tell it, who are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose consummation is destruction. Doesn't mean they won't be saved eventually, but they'll be destroyed for membership in the body of Christ, whose God is their bowels. What are we talking about? Small intestines, large intestines? No, bowels here is used for the seat of power. We would call it guts today. Instead of saying bowels, we would say guts. Where's your guts? You don't have any guts. The people who are promoting a constant awareness of sin and a constant repentance and a constant worrying about your sin, their God, their actual God is their bowels. That is their own ability to believe, their own ability to repent, their own ability to believe. This may very well belong to the circumcision gospel, the Israel gospel, because the Israel gospel is presented as a gospel that allows for human cooperation. That is, it allows for guts. Come on, don't you have the guts to follow the law of Moses? Don't you have the guts to give everything you have to the poor and follow Christ? Don't you have the guts? Whose God is their bowels? Their guts. Really, I see free will involved here. Whose God is their bowels? Like what they can do, their power, their intentions, their ability to carry out their intention. That's their subjector. Whose subjector is their guts. God is theos in the Greek, and it means subjector, one who subjects. It also means placer, one who places or subjects, lays things out the way he wants them. But they think they lay things out the way they want them. Whose God is their bowels, and whose glory is in their shame. These types of people glory in their contribution to the gospel. They glory in it. They're happy about it. They're thrilled about it. They compare their contribution to yours. Yours sucks and theirs is terrific. Theirs is great, stupendous. But they're actually glorying in something that they should be ashamed of. That is their will. They're glorying in their shame. They're proud of the fact that they think they're on the throne. That's crazy. That's called glorying in your shame. Who to the terrestrial are disposed. They care about earthly things. They love the earthly fight. They want to do well compared to their fellow human beings who are on the earth. They want to outstrip their contemporaries in ways of repentance, in the ways of prayer, in the ways of performance, in the ways of belief, in the ways of pleasing God. They're disposed to the terrestrial. What about us? Verse 20. For our realm is inherent in the heavens. Our realm's not even on here. This here planet. This here thing. This here. Oblate spheroid. Third rock from the sun. Our realm's not here. So we don't compare one another to one another. We don't look around and say, oh, I'm better than that person. Or I wish I was better than that person. Because our realm is not even here. And we don't even know each other. We only know each other according to flesh in the body of Christ. And we know that the old humanity has been crucified. So it's like we don't truly know each other anymore according to flesh. Like Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, we know each other according to spirit. So we're not competitive. We're operating in a new realm. Our realm is inherent in the heavens. And we don't know what that's like yet. We haven't been there. So we don't know what we're going to be like there. But it's going to be a whole new thing. We have to have the Spirit of God in full in order to survive in that realm. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot be taken to the celestial realm. We have to be changed. We have to put on immortality. And blood does not belong to immortality. Blood belongs to mortality. As you will find out if somebody would drain all your blood. You see how much that mortality and blood go hand in hand. I hate both things. I hate blood, especially my own. I love my blood. I don't like to see blood, especially my own. I don't like to see my own blood. I don't like to see other people's blood, but I especially don't like to see mine. It reminds me that I'm mortal. I don't like being reminded that I'm mortal. I think I was 17 or something when I got my first chest x-ray. I was devastated. Why, Martin? Was there something wrong? Yeah. I could see my rib cage and my lungs. I looked at that. I said, holy shit. I'm just like everybody else. I'm mortal. Ugh. It was so embarrassing. It's humiliating. I thought I was somehow better. And yet, there I am. Bag of bones. Couple airbags in there. Called lungs. Humiliating, embarrassing. There's part of my pelvis. Jesus Christ. Oh, it was awful. Good dose of humility, though. Shortly thereafter, I gave up on human free will. Our realm is inherent in the heavens, out of which we're awaiting a savior also. We're not comparing one another to one another. We're too busy awaiting for a savior. In order to compare, in order to try to be better than somebody else or want to be somebody else, you have to do this. Watch my head on the studio cam. You have to do this. We're not looking across the horizontal plane. Ladies and gentlemen, we are on the vertical plane. We are awaiting a Savior also. Where is the Savior now? He's in heaven. Where is he coming from? Heaven. For all realm is inherent in the heavens, out of which, the heavens, we are awaiting a Savior, also the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transfigure the body of our humiliation. Now, we're still carrying these bodies. It's only in faith that we realize the old humanity has been crucified. That's by faith we come to realize that, and it's corresponding truth that we're justified. We're still carrying the carcass around. We're still dragging it around. It reminds us that we're mortal constantly. I'm getting sick of it. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior we're awaiting out of heaven, will transfigure the body of our humiliation to conform it, listen to this great news, to the body of his glory, in accord with the operation which enables him even to subject all to himself. This is the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to subject all things to himself. I'm talking about the whole universe, things in the heaven, things on earth, things below the earth. And in accord with the operation that enables him even to subject all to himself, he's going to change our bodies. He's going to change our bodies. If I were to tell you the Lord's going to change your body, you would think, oh my God, it's so difficult for him. Change my body. Oh, what's that going to take? What's that going to take? This is in accord with the operation that enables him even to subject all to himself. So the same operation and the same power of the operation, that is the power of the Spirit, which will enable him to subject all to himself, that's the same power and the same operation he's going to use to change your body of humiliation and conform it to the body of his glory. Easy peasy. It's not going to be a problem. Not going to be a problem. We're not enemies of the cross of Christ. We're friends of the cross. I mean, we hate the cross in a way, but we love it. In another way, we hate it because it's despicable. I really disagree with people wearing crosses around their neck. And the Lord wasn't crucified on a cross anyway. It was a pole. It was a stake. The Greek staros, the English element, there is standard. But to decorate this implement of torture, it's just horrible. It's like, no, get rid of that. No, he's resurrected. He's resurrected. And the Catholic Church put him on that cross once a year. It's ridiculous. This when they get him in heaven, Easter comes around, they put him on the cross again. Christ, can't we resurrect him, leave him in heaven at the right hand of God? No, not for very long. Then they put him back in the cradle in December. Oh, now he's a baby? Yeah, he's a baby. Once a year, he's baby Jesus. Oh, my God, and the cycle goes on and on and on. In the meantime, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Christ Jesus, is at the right hand of God, glorified up over every sovereignty and authority. He's rolling his eyes like, oh my God, here we go again. The baby thing? The baby thing again? It's ridiculous. I'm sure if they could, they'd put his swaddling clothes in a museum, the Jesus Christ Baby Museum, his swaddling clothes, have the manger there and everything, have a stuffed donkey, and maybe some of the shepherd's clothes that they wore, maybe some hay bale. That'd be great at the Baby Jesus Museum. I'm sure Christians would worship there. The Baby Jesus. I don't want to know the Baby Jesus. I want to know the glorified Christ. So we are not enemies of the cross because we're not fighting ourselves any longer. There's the sign right there. I'll end with this. I think this is going to be good. I haven't even said it yet. I just know it's going to be good. We're not fighting ourselves. If you're still fighting yourself, you're an enemy of the cross. If you're still trying to whip yourself into shape and obey God in the flesh, by acts of flesh, by techniques of the flesh, I'm not talking about inciting one another to good acts. I'm talking about putting your accomplishments for God on a chart and monitoring your progress in comparison to the perfection of Jesus Christ. That is considering yourself according to flesh. We don't do that any longer because we're not enemies of the cross. The cross wiped out the human race, the old humanity, the old human race, wiped it out. And now we can walk in newness of life. This is how you do it, like this. You walk in newness of life. It's you're loose. People try to condemn you. People try to tell you you have to repent. People try to tell you you have to be forgiven. People try to tell you you need to perform better. And you're just like this. You're like, no, I don't. No, I don't. I'm a new creation. This is how you walk. You're a member of the new creation, I guess. A member of the new creation. Nothing you say can get at me because I'm not an enemy of the cross. Oh, you're concentrating on yourself? You're disappointed in yourself? You're constantly working to impress God? You're repenting every 5 minutes? You're taking account of all your sins? You're trying to whip yourself into shape? Oh, you're an enemy of the cross because your old humanity has not been crucified yet to your own apprehension. It has not because you're not aware of this truth. You're an enemy of the cross. Your God is your bowels. Yeah. You're pretty proud of your guts. You've given the guts. You've given your guts the place of God. You've given your bravery, your dedication, your adherence to the law of Moses, or your attempted adherence to the law of Moses. It can only be attempted. You've given that the place of God in your life. Those looking over the shoulders of my audience here who are actual enemies of the cross of Christ, whose glory is in their shame. We have free will. You're glorifying your shame right there. That's what you're doing. And who to the terrestrial are disposed. At best, they're disposed to the circumcision gospel. Those of that gospel will be situated upon the earth. They are disposed to the terrestrial. Not only in the sense that they're following the circumcision gospel or trying to follow the circumcision gospel, but they're not even following it because they're still making their bowels their God. They're still depending on themselves to bring them into the kingdom. They're still not depending completely on God. They're like the Jews Paul speaks of in Romans. I mean, the Israel types, sorry, not allowed to say the J word. They're still like the Israel types of Romans chapter 10, who Paul's prayer is for their salvation. But he says they're not saved. Why, Paul, why do you think they're not saved? Because they're seeking to establish their own righteousness. In other words, their God is their bowels, seeking to establish their own righteousness. And their glory is in their shame. Yay, I'm independent of God. And they're disposed to terrestrial things, not just the earth, their body, their abilities. No. It's much more relaxing being a friend of the cross. Jesus Christ suffered and completed the all in all. Even though we haven't seen it worked out yet, he did it. So that we don't have to.